Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Lent as we make our 40-day journey to Holy Week and the events of the most important weekend in history, the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. During Lent, on Sunday mornings, we'll be focusing on forgiveness. This morning we started a new Bible study on forgiveness. I encourage you to come. I want to invite you to come if you're able to. And our sermon series during the Sundays of Lent will focus on forgiveness. And the reason we're focusing on forgiveness is because forgiveness is one of the most important topics in Christianity and in all of life. Forgiveness is at the very heart of Christianity. It is the very essence of what we believe as Christians. Everything Jesus did was in order to bring God's grace and forgiveness into our lives. It's central to our faith, central to our lives. Forgiveness is necessary for every person to understand because without forgiveness, relationships, all relationships become impossible. Without forgiveness, we can't have relationships with people, and we can't have a relationship with God. Therefore, there's nothing more important to know than how we are forgiven and how, in turn, we can forgive others. So, to introduce the topic of forgiveness, this morning I want to share with you four important truths about forgiveness from God's Word, the Bible. Truth number one, forgiveness is never deserved. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One of the things that people use as an excuse not to forgive is because, in their hearts, they feel certain people don't deserve to be forgiven. I notice everyone agrees in forgiving other people as a general principle. The hard part is when we start talking about forgiving specific individuals. You want me to forgive that person? Pastor, I'm normally a forgiving person, but you want me to forgive that person? I can forgive a lot of things, but you have no idea what that person did to me. You have no idea how much that person hurt me. And you're right. I couldn't possibly begin to understand some of the pain, some of the heartache, some of the hurts that you have endured in your life. And if you say that person doesn't deserve my forgiveness, my response also would be, you are absolutely right. That person absolutely does not deserve your forgiveness. But I would go farther than that. Not only does that person not forgive your forgiveness, neither does anybody else. No one deserves forgiveness. Not you, not me, not any of us. In fact, forgiveness is never deserved. So why can I say that? Well, the Bible teaches that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To sin means we've broken God's commandments. God's law is summed up in the Ten Commandments, and you and I have broken all of them. Sometimes in what we do or don't do. Sometimes in what we think or what we don't think. Sometimes in what we say or what we don't say. We've all sinned, and the Bible says that because we're sinners, there is something we do deserve. Sin has a wage. Sin has a paycheck, but it's not the kind of paycheck we want. The paycheck for sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What we've earned, what we deserve, according to God's holy, just, and righteous law, is death. Physical death, eternal death, separated from God for eternity. Death came to all people because all people sin. This is our just deserts. This is what we deserve. God has every right to punish us because we all sin, and sin is wrong and evil, and sin hurts people. Sin has consequences. I want to share a true story with you this morning. It's the story of a woman named Gladys Staines. As a teenager in Australia, Gladys felt led to serve the Lord in the mission field. She trained as a nurse and took a position in India. She worked in a Christian hospital serving lepers. These lepers were considered in Hindu society as the lowest of the low, the outcasts of all outcasts. Hindus believed that they had sinned so much in a previous life that they deserve to be treated badly. In fact, they are considered to be worth less than animals. These are the people Gladys loved with the love of Jesus and the people she served. Now, the administrator of that hospital was also a man from Australia named Graham Staines. They met, they fell in love, they got married, and served together as missionaries in India. They were blessed with three children, Esther, Philip, and Timothy. Graham's deepest desire and prayer was that all of India would believe in Christ. And so he would travel all over the country to the remote regions, sharing the gospel of Jesus and the love of Jesus with people. And then came the terrible events of January 22nd, 1999. After Graham had shared God's word and God's love with people in a remote region of India, many of the families believed what Graham had preached and became Christians. That night, Graham and his boys, Philip, age 10, and Timothy, age 7, spent the night in their Jeep because there was no other place to stay. During the night, a mob from the tribe, upset that so many people had converted to Christianity, surrounded Graham's Jeep. The leader slashed the tires so that Graham could not drive away. Then they broke out the windows of the car and started stabbing Graham and his sons. Then they started the car on fire. When Graham and his sons tried to get out, they pushed the doors shut. Graham and his sons were burned alive. This is what their vehicle looked like when it was recovered. Let me ask you, if you'd been Gladys, how would you have felt towards those killers? What would you hope would happen to them? And what would you say to people if they asked you about your feelings towards them? Gladys was asked about that, and her words, her response, was nothing less than a miracle. I'll share with you Gladys's response and those miraculous words with you in a few minutes, but first, let's move on to truth number two. Number two, forgiveness is the free gift of God. Like those killers in India, we also are sinners. We have broken God's commandment over and over again. God has every right to punish us. But here's the thing. God has every right to punish us, but that's not what God wants to do. God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants to be friends with us. God wants us to be his children. So instead of punishing sin, God chooses to forgive sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to save us from sin. And not just us, but all sinners. In order to get rid of sin, Jesus lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death on the cross, and then rose again on Easter Sunday so that we could have eternal life. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus paid the price for sin, for all sin. Jesus Christ paid the price for sin so that God can forgive all sins. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, God has removed our transgressions from us. He has taken them as far as the east is from the west. And God gives us this forgiveness, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it. He gives it to us as his free gift. It is the greatest gift ever given. It's the greatest gift ever given and the greatest gift you've ever received. Because with forgiveness of sins, you receive so many other things as well. With forgiveness of sins, you become part of God's family. You receive the strength, the comfort, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you also receive eternal life in Christ Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You've been given the greatest gift of all time, the forgiveness of sins. And what would be the proper response to such an incredible, indescribable gift? Well, the proper response, what God wants us to do more than anything else as a response to this gift, is truth number three. Forgive because God forgives us. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ forgave you. I think Ephesians 4:32 says it all. Along with that, we have Colossians 3:23, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Most people define forgiveness as a feeling in the heart. When they try to define forgiveness, they talk about having feelings of forgiveness toward another person. As Christians, we don't need to worry about the feelings, because we know forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift you and I have already received. And now our honor, our very great privilege, is to give that gift away to other people. We've received the gift of forgiveness from God, and now we can give God's gift of forgiveness to other people. The source of forgiveness is not ourselves. The source of forgiveness is God. To err as human, to forgive is divine. The source of our forgiveness is the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for sinners, for all sinners. And our job and our privilege is to announce that fact to everyone who needs that forgiveness, which is, by the way, everyone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Let's go back to Gladys and that horrific night, January 22nd, 1999. All of India mourned that such a horrible crime could be committed in their country. The killers were all eventually caught, and the leader of the group was given the death sentence. The others were sentenced to life in prison. After the sentencing, a reporter came to Gladys and asked if she felt that justice had been done. And her response was, I think, a miracle. As far as the sentencing, Gladys said she had no comment. God has established government which executes justice for society. But as for herself, she said that she had already forgiven the killers, and she had no bitterness in her heart towards them. She explained that forgiveness brings healing, and what India needs more than anything is the healing from hatred and violence that forgiveness can bring. I call that response a miracle because I don't believe forgiveness like that can come just from human beings. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in Gladys's life. Forgiveness like that comes only from God himself. Forgiveness like that comes directly from the cross of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, forgiving others as God forgives us, truly is divine. We forgive because God first forgave us. And that brings us to the fourth truth and our last one today. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is powerful. It can change a life. It can save a marriage. It can heal a family. It can even change a country. After Gladys shared her statement on forgiveness, her confession of faith and forgiveness spread throughout the country of India and throughout the world. It was reported that thousands of people in India converted to Christianity following those events. Reporters came from all over the world, New York and London, Tokyo, all over the world to find out about this woman who had so boldly forgiven what had been a horrific crime against her family. You see, forgiveness as God forgives is truly divine. It is powerful. It can change a life. It can save a marriage. It can heal a family. It can even change a country. But more important than that, most importantly, it can change an eternal destiny. It changes us for eternity because forgiveness is not the key to a happy and successful life. Forgiveness is the key to everlasting life with God in heaven. Through the forgiveness that God gives us, we have eternal life with God forever. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Now by the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard it, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.